Father, we thank you for your great grace. We thank you for sending your Son to save your people from their sins. Father, we pray that you would exalt our Savior this day through our worship. May it be acceptable and pleasing to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to remind you about something this morning that you already know. This is a time of year that lots of people celebrate who aren't Christians. And they consider it a family time to get together. A lot of people have time off for work, and that's great. But for us, because we're Christians, it's more than just a family time. It ought to be actually a time of heightened worship as we think about what God has done for us. It ought to move us. It ought to move us transcendently and into the sphere of worship. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:3. The Bible teaches that in the fall of humanity, guilt for sin and the wages of sin, death, passed upon all humanity, all men. The Puritans used to teach their children, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. You remember that little rhyme? And in the sense that Adam was the federal head of the human race, that's true. We've talked extensively before about that doctrine called federal headship. And you remember that argument is used by the writer of the Hebrews when he teaches this. Listen, Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. That's Hebrews 7:9-10. I can't preach that sermon to you again this morning, but I hope you remember about this doctrine, because it's in that sense that in Adam's fall, we sinned all. It's the sense that the writer of the Hebrews uses. We were in Adam, hereditarily, genetically, however the best way to say that would be. The Apostle Paul puts it this way: by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:12. And remember this, brothers and sisters, the Bible teaches that sin is a work. It's a work of the flesh. And when you work, you get wages. And the wages of sin, the Bible teaches, is death. Romans 6:23. Now we have a glorious inheritance with God because we're His people. But because of our adoption as His sons and daughters. But beloved, remember, from Adam and Eve, we also have an inheritance. And it's not glorious. From our ancient father and mother, we inherited a sinful nature, a fallen nature. And we creatures who have been born with a sinful nature, in the course of time, all of us have acted in accordance with our sinful nature. And all of us, personally, have sinned. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Will you confess, I have sinned, I have fallen short of the glory of God? Well, praise God. I saw a bunch of you nodding. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1:8. So I guess I know what kind of people I'm talking to this morning. Sinners, huh? It's a bunch of sinners, Bill. People like me. Sinners by nature. Children of wrath by nature. Sinners by choice. Speaking the word of God to the sin-strayed Israelites, Isaiah tells them, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Isaiah 59:2. Isaiah says to them, you're separated from your God because of your sin. On account of your sin, you're separated from God. Alienated. there is no peace for the wicked, the Lord says. Isaiah 48:22 and 57:21. Rather than peace, listen, rather than peace, the Bible calls the state of sinful man with God enmity. E-N-M-I-T-Y. Enmity. It's not a word we hear often. So friend, the state of the human race in general and individual sinners in particular is a state of separation or alienation from God and a state of enmity with Him. And listen, listen carefully. Separation can only be remedied by reconciliation, and enmity can only be remedied by peace. Separation can only be remedied by reconciliation, and enmity can only be remedied by peace. Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 2. Let's read of the first advent of our Savior. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, each one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one unto another, Let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, as it was told unto them." May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of Holy Scripture. But listen, before our reading, we noted that enmity can only be remedied by peace. Well, beloved, listen, peace came at Christmas. Peace came at Christmas. The old King James Version translated that phrase from verse 14, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. The modern translations have updated that to be more precise. The New International Version renders it, on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests. The New American Standard says, on earth, peace among men with whom He is pleased. And the English Standard Version translates it, on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. Now listen, the reason why I'm calling your attention to this is because the peace that God brings us through His Son is specifically for His people. It's specifically for His people, His chosen ones, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. But it's for His people. Now, what did the angels understand about the Advent? What do you think? What did they understand about Christmas? Well, an angelic messenger told the shepherds that a Savior, anointed by God, had come. Where? The text says, to the city of David, to Bethlehem of Judea. And the angelic messenger told the shepherds that this Savior was Lord. And the angelic messenger told the shepherds to look for a specific sign. Go look for a newborn baby that's swaddled in clothes and lying in a feed trough. That's where you'll find him. Now, Peter teaches, listen, the good news, gospel. Peter teaches that the gospel, the good news, is something that angels desire to look into. 1 Peter 1:12. And Peter's implication is that the Spirit of God has revealed something to Christians in the gospel, in the good news, that angels haven't been able to understand. He tells us that they desire to look into it, but then he says God revealed it to you. Not to them, but to you. Now, we don't know everything that the angels understood when they witnessed the birth of the Savior. But listen, beloved, they understood that this event was monumentally significant. They understood this is a big, big deal. And they understood that the appropriate reaction from angels and from humans at that moment, at that dread occasion, was worship. And so they sang or shouted, "Glory to God in the highest." Their anthem was one of praise. They worshiped. They ascribed glory to the Most High God. But notice, that's not all the angels shouted. That's not all they sang. They said, "Peace to His people on earth. Glory to God in the highest, and peace. Peace to His people on earth." That's why I say, beloved, listen, peace came at Christmas. There's no way for us to know for sure what all those Christmas angels understood, but they knew that Jesus had come, and they knew that His coming was for peace. And they knew that His coming for peace called for worship from angels and from men. I'm sure that you well remember this Christmas prophecy. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of Jehovah of hosts will perform this." Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. And I know that you know it's from that wonderful Christmas prophecy that we take that wonderful name of our wonderful Lord, Prince of Peace. And it's from that prophecy that we receive the promise of the increase of His government and His peace, there shall be no end. So, dear ones, listen, the coming of Jesus to earth is the coming of peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And the peace that He brings will never, ever end. According to Peter, Jesus came preaching peace. Acts 10:36. He came preaching peace. The Apostle Paul teaches the same thing. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And look down there to verse 11. The great apostle says, "Remember that you, being in the past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you that were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Did you hear that in verse 14? He is our peace. Verse 15, he made peace. In verse 17, he came and preached peace. And friends, listen, I hope that this is sweet to you this morning. The Holy Scriptures proclaim, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel," that is the good news, "of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things," Romans 10, 15. I want to tell you, there's peace with God in Jesus, his Son. The old prophet prophesied that the coming of Messiah would be the coming of the Prince of Peace. The angelic host that witnessed the humble birth cried out, "Peace on earth." And the apostolic word concerning the Savior is, he came preaching peace, peace, peace. Now, I'm not much of a bumper sticker guy. I don't think I've ever put a bumper sticker on my car, especially not a political one. But I enjoy other people's bumper stickers sometimes. And there's one I've seen several times. I really like it. You've probably seen it. And it says, "No, no Jesus, no peace." And then it says, "No Jesus, K-N-O-W, no, K-N-O-W, peace." Have you seen that one? I like it. As far as bumper stickers go, I think it's a pretty good one. I also love that idea of divine invasion that C.S. Lewis uses repeatedly. Some of you that have read with me may remember the idea that heaven invades earth in a most unforeseen and unanticipated way from outside the cosmos, under cover of darkness, on a midnight clear, on a silent night, in a little town of Bethlehem, where shepherds were in the fields abiding. Hark, the herald angels were singing, and there came the Son of God away in a manger. Lewis writes, enemy-occupied territory. That's what this world is. Christianity is the story of how the rightful king has landed. You might say landed in disguise. And he's calling us to all take part in the great campaign of sabotage. When you go to church, you're really listening in to the secret wireless from our friends. And that's why the enemy is so anxious to keep us from going. Saints, listen. Peace came at Christmas. On that silent night, the herald angels sang, "Peace." And you must understand that peace with God and peace with man only truly comes through the Prince of Peace, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And to know Jesus is to know peace. Sinful men will often cry, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. So I want you to hear some bad news and some good news. First, the bad news. Sinful men, men who are filled with and full of sin, are at enmity with God. E-N-M-I-T-Y, enmity with God. They're in a state of perpetual war with the Almighty. They're aliens, they're enemies, and they are set for ultimate destruction. Yahweh is a man of war. Exodus 3:15. The transgressors shall be destroyed altogether. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. Psalm 37:38. But there is good news. The offended God has offered terms of peace. And they are sweet. He has sent His own Son, the Prince of Peace, and all He requires is, "Bow to my Son. Just bow to my Son. Worship my Son. Believe on my Son, and all is forgiven if you worship my Son." That's good news. What benevolence. What a good word. What magnanimity. What generosity. What goodness. What love. Peace with God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. John 3:16 and 17. So listen, if you're here today and you don't have peace with God, I want to tell you something. You will never have it except on His terms. You will never have peace with God except on His terms. And I've just told you that His terms are very sweet. Believe on Jesus, the Son of God. Worship the Son. Kiss the Son. In Him is peace, and in Him is salvation. He's made peace. He's preached peace. He is our peace. And friends, listen, what this sin-cursed world needs is Jesus. You want something to celebrate at Christmas? Peace came to this sin-cursed world. Let me remind you a little bit about how peace came to earth. Peace came to a real place, to the city of David, not to Pellucidar or Narnia or Middle Earth, but to a real fallen city. A fallen human city, to Bethlehem, about 7,000 miles away from here. And I don't know if His birthday was on December 25th. I've read some things that make me doubt that. But listen, whatever day it was, He had a real birthday. On a certain night in human history, the Prince of Peace was born. And peace came to earth. And there was nothing random, haphazard, chance, or accidental about His birth. It was prophesied. It was anticipated. It was star-studded. The old seer Micah had prophesied, "Thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, even from everlasting." Micah 5:2. Wise men studied this out and charted a strange astronomical event, a comet or some kind of a moving star that led them to the peace. And they found him just like the angels had said. And they worshiped. Peace came at Christmas. Rocks didn't cry out, but a star moved. And angels, a whole army of angels, a multitude of the heavenly host, filled the sky and shouted, "Glory! Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory to God! And peace! Peace! Peace to man! Peace to humanity!" Do you have peace? Do you know peace? Listen, believing in Jesus brings peace with God. If you don't have peace or no peace, you need to. If you remain at enmity with God, your end is destruction. The Bible says, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. Now, to be justified means that God, who is the righteous judge of all, says of you, "You're just." To be justified means God says, "You're all right with me." To be justified means God says, "You're all right. We're good." If you put your trust in Jesus, listen, if you rely on Him, that's faith. And the Bible here teaches that if you put your trust in Jesus, you're all right with God. And the result is peace. Peace with God through Jesus. Listen, God is not angry with those who love and trust Jesus. God is not at enmity with those who love and trust Jesus. Because they love His Son, listen, because they love His Son, His favor rests upon them. In them, listen, in them the angelic song is fulfilled. Peace to men on whom His favor rests. And listen, if you believe in Jesus, the favor of God rests upon you. Believing in Jesus brings peace with God. But listen, believing in Jesus also brings peace with self. It brings us peace with ourselves. I know life is complicated and stressful, friend, and I don't know how people without Jesus make it. I don't know how they make it. If it wasn't for Jesus, I think I'd probably be dead or in prison or insane or in some kind of really bad trouble. But I'm not, because I have peace. I possess it. He's in me. Paul doesn't want the Christian converts at Philippi to be worrying. He doesn't want them worrying. And so he writes to them and he teaches them, "Be careful," that is, full of care for nothing, "but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Now, how did those Philippian Christians get inner peace? The peace of God through Jesus, the Prince of Peace. You understand the power of that promise? Paul teaches that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the keeper of His people's hearts and minds. So listen, Jesus is the keeper of their hearts and minds. Listen, Christian, you should thank Jesus for your sanity. Christian, you should thank Jesus that you're not crazy. If you have peace with God welling up within you, thank Him. And Christian, listen, if you don't, pray. Supplicate. Give thanks. Peace has come. And if you've believed on Jesus, the Bible teaches this is for you. Peace is for you. Peace comes from Jesus. He's the prince of it. And He's the ruler of us. So we are servants of peace, children of peace, allies of peace, brothers of peace, sons and daughters of peace. Believing in Jesus brings peace with God, and believing in Jesus brings peace with self, inner peace. But listen, believing in Jesus also brings peace with our fellow men. The apostolic teaching about living in a community is fairly simple. The great apostle teaches, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Romans 12:18. Well, Christian, listen, do you ever doubt your salvation? I think we all do from time to time. And it usually happens when we're looking at ourselves instead of Jesus and we get depressed. Oh. Sanctification is not instantaneous, it's ongoing, but it's God's work. And He's at work in His people. But one of the things that sometimes calms my doubts is the recognition that if it weren't for Christ, I would have done differently. Some of you might know what I mean. And I hope this is not too redneck for you. But I can have a hot head. I do have a hot head, even now. Not as hot as it used to be. And I can tend towards over-expressiveness. And I know, I'm aware that it's the work of Christ in me, His peace that's kept me from being a fighter and probably kept me from an early grave. That's just a personal example. I'm sure you've got your own, but if it weren't for Jesus, I'd be a lot more of a hothead than I am, and I know it. Most of the time, I can be at peace with my neighbors. And I'm trying as much as it depends on me to be at peace with them. God help me. And saints, if you've been around long enough to see true Christian conversion, our Lord Jesus, the Prince of Peace, brings peace to His people. And listen, it's the rule, not the exception. It's the rule that Christian people, generally, real Christian people, are kind and gentle and mild and peaceable. And when they're not, something's wrong. Why are they like that? God does that. Jesus does that. Believing in Jesus enables me to live at peace with my fellow man as much as it depends on me. Peace came at Christmas. So listen, I hope you'll remember that as you enjoy your families and the gifts that God has given. The greatest gift of all is Jesus, God's peace child. If you're here today and you haven't believed on Jesus, you don't know the peace that Jesus brings. Peace with God and peace within and peace with others. And if you're here today and you don't have peace with God, I want you to hear again what I've already told you. You will never have peace except on God's terms. But His terms are easy. They're easy. What God requires is this: honor His Son. Believe on His Son. Cherish His Son. And listen, if you can do that, you'll find peace. He is our peace. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Let us therefore follow after the things that make for peace, things wherewith we may edify one another. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 14, 17, 19, and 15, 13. I hope you have a peaceful Christmas.